Okay, it's good to see everybody is here. We're going to be doing our third and final installment of this particular sermon. And we emphasize that faith and works are necessary for salvation. And as we just read from our scripture reading, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so faith apart from works is dead. Now, most of the denominational world believes the concept of faith only. They say that's how we're saved, is through faith only. And that's what they teach. That's what they believe. That's what they practice. And the Bible has a lot to say about it. We've already had two very long sermons on this subject that really the idea of faith only is not in the Bible. In fact, we just read from verse 24, not by faith only. That's the only time you'll see the word faith only used in the Bible. And so, as we look at this, we're going to find out, and we'll wrap it up today, and we'll try not to repeat what we've said before, but we understand the comfort doctrine of faith only is cherished by millions. People who believe lies are going to be lost, unless they can come and learn the truth, which most of them are not interested in doing because they're already told that once they're saved, they're already saved, so they don't have any interest. There's no vested interest to even study the Bible anymore. And so they go through life ignorantly, and they don't learn God's word. And so they hear somebody say faith only. Hey, that works for them. And so those who hold to this doctrine have proven they do not care to obey God in any way other than the way they want to worship Him. And that's why we have the thousands upon thousands of denominations out there. And so much of the New Testament teaches the necessity of faith and works. And yes, we will emphasize that again today. We're going to see some more of what is taught in the Bible. All right, Jesus and the apostles teach that works are necessary for justification. And you cannot be saved without being justified. So, Matthew 5, 2 through 11, talks about all of the Beatitudes. Jesus' teaching goes beyond faith. It goes more than that. Being pure, being merciful, being peacemakers, being humble, they're all good works. And we learned last week, good works are what God has said are good. If God gives us something to do, it is a good work. And so we know we must be doing good works. And of course, just pure, merciful, peacemakers, yeah, all are good works. And they are acts of the will that are necessary for a right relationship with God. You're going to see that phrase several times in this lesson, acts of the will. These are acts which I'm looking, speaking for myself, this is my job to do. And I choose to do it. And that's what it is. Now, when you do something, you choose to do it. And that's really, our whole life is based on choices that we make. And what we do is because we chose to do it. Even though some people say, well, I can't help myself. Well, yeah, you really can. It's just you don't want to help yourself. You're having too much fun or you're having too much pleasure fulfilling your lust or whatever. So, yeah, there's nothing which basically we don't have the power over ourselves. But yet, most of the time, we just choose to go the easy way and fulfill whatever makes us happy. See, Matthew 5:16, Jesus confirms this by teaching, let your light shine before men, they may see your good works and give glory to God. That's the purpose of our good works, is not to make us feel good, even though it does. Our good works are to help others see the necessity of giving glory to God. And that's why we should be doing them. And good works glorify God and increase our justification before the Father. Now, last week we talked about the fact doing it just to be seen of men. Now, if you're doing something for the purpose of people, hey, look, there's a religious person. I mean, that's the wrong way to be looking at it. That's the wrong attitude to have. But if I'm doing this to be pleasing to God, others are going to be affected by that. Others are going to see that, and who knows, they recognize the goodness of God, they just might seek God. So that's what we need to be doing and working towards. So that's why good works are necessary, and that's why we should not do, or we really don't do works in private for ourselves. Yeah, we have a relationship with God that is in a sense personal and private, but we also need to be demonstrating our faith in a public way so that others will see our faith and then glorify God. See, Matthew 5, 39 through 42 gives you give your striker the other cheek, and give away your cloak if necessary, and go with them 2 miles if someone bids you to go one. And so these are just principles. Yeah, be ready to help others and give to others that might ask you. And so what we see of all of these things, this is faith in action. And it's not faith only. As we have said, it is not faith only, and there is no such thing as faith only, except in the mind of the millions who want to believe that. See, Matthew 5, 44 through 47, this means even loving our enemies and praying for those who persecute us. Yeah, we've got to show love to everybody and not be vindictive towards anybody. Of course, we have plenty of scriptures that says put away wrath and all the revelings and the hatred and all that stuff. And that, yeah, that should be that way. But we even, Jesus takes it one step further. You got to love these people and love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So we know love is a good work. This is what God wants. It's an act of the will. We demonstrate it because we have chosen to demonstrate it. We demonstrate it because we have made a purpose in our life to demonstrate it. So Matthew 6, 12 says, forgive us our sins, not by how much faith we have, but as we forgive those who trespass against us. See, that's what Jesus taught. He said, okay, you've got to forgive us of our sins in the way that we forgive others. Yeah. And so this is an act of our will. I'm willing to overlook what you did to me. And so God can pretty much say the same thing. I will overlook what you did for me or what you did to me. And I'll forgive you. So it's on God's terms that we do so. But it still comes down to our will, the purpose in our life. Matthew 7, 19 through 23, just saying, Lord, Lord, and accepting Jesus as personal Savior is not enough. You know, a lot of people say, Lord, Lord. And he says, not everyone who says that shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. So even in that passage, Jesus said, it's a matter of doing. Doing. How many times do we have to emphasize that? A little tiny word, two letters, do. I mean, just like James said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. And so if we're going to demonstrate our faith, we got to do something in order to demonstrate it. Not just have something in the back of our, oh, I believe there's a God. Well, as we already read in James 2, the devils also believe there is a God, and they tremble. So, what we also must do is bear the fruit of good works. Matthew 19, 16 through 22, Jesus teaches a man to sell all he has and give it to the poor. We had this sermon about 5 weeks ago, and he went away sorrowful. He went away from the Lord. He was upset. He was sorrowful because apparently he had a lot of wealth. And give it all to the poor? I mean, Jesus was asking him to do something, and he wasn't willing to do it. Same thing happens today. Jesus asked us to do something, and a lot of people are not willing to do what he asked us to do. And so it's not just about accepting Jesus as personal Lord and Savior, as so many teach. Many in the denomination, practically all the denominations do this. Just accept Jesus as Lord in your heart. That's all you have to do, and then you'll go to heaven. And they don't emphasize anything about works and the necessity of works to make this happen. So we also need good works by keeping Jesus' commandments. Now, notice in Matthew 22:39, about what we're supposed to do. We're to love your neighbor as yourself. Mark 12:31 is a parallel passage there. And so we can say, well, I love God, but you know what? Jesus said, take it a step further, love your neighbor. Love God, yes, but love your neighbor. And then he went on to say, both of these, the whole law is based on both of these. Everything about the law is based on love. And so love is a work that God gives us to do, and we should be doing it. If we don't show love towards our neighbor, we're not doing the work that God wants us to do. So love is a good work, an act of the intellect and an act of the will. You know, just walking up to somebody and say, hey, I love you, without doing anything for them, I mean, that doesn't really mean anything, right? Have you ever had a stranger come up, walk to you and say, hey, I love you? I mean, you'd be cut, what? I don't even know you. I mean, you'd be upset about that, really. But we have to determine that we're going to demonstrate love to somebody, and it's going to be because we want to do it. That's what the will is. It's what I desire. It's what I want to do. And we need to get to that point where we want to be good and useful and helpful for others. So Mark 9:39, Jesus said, no one who does good works in his name will be able to soon after speak evil of him. And that's pretty much true. If you do the good works that God wants you to do, it's kind of hard to say bad things about God. It really is. And so if you do enough of these works, you're going to have the right mindset, and you're not going to want to say anything bad about God. So good works justify us in the sight of God. And we spent a lot of time last week talking about our justification by our works. In Luke 6:46-47, the Lord asks us to do what he tells us, and that to keep his commandments, not just accept him as personal Lord and Savior. Yeah, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? So he tells it, he makes the point very plain and clear. If we're going to want Jesus to be our Lord, we've got to do what he tells us to do. And the denominational world, they just reject that. Oh, just call on the Lord, he'll accept you, accept him as your personal Lord and Savior. You know, everybody I've ever talked to, oh, I accept the Lord as my personal Lord and Savior, and we have a personal relationship. And what I find is the fact that they have no interest in doing what God asked them to do. First of all, going to church. They don't even want to go to church. So they have a relationship with the Lord. And what I found out, that's nothing more than a cop-out. The cop-out being, I don't want to serve God. I want to do what I want to do, but I just want to feel good about myself. So that's what it comes down to. In Luke 6:20-38, again, the Beatitudes, the love of enemies, giving to the needy, forgiving and bearing fruit. All these good works justify a man before God. And we recognize that. Luke 8:21, Jesus says that his mother and brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. That's who's in a relationship with God. Those who not just hear the word, but do it. Just like James says, don't be hearers of the word only, but be doers of the word. John 5:24. Note that here. Let's read John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Now, there are several statements that Jesus makes in the book of John here, which if you take it just straight on face value, you can see, like, God so loved the world that whoever believes on him shall have eternal life. Well, yeah, I mean, there's a conditional statement that really is attached to that. And the idea has eternal life is basically means that they have the sanctifying grace available to them. And so that's what he's really talking about. Because, you know, down in John 3:36, he who believes on the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son cannot see life. So there's a little bit of understanding that we need to make about that, because some people can really twist these scriptures and say, all you have to do is believe. John 3:16 tells you that. Or just call on the name of the Lord. Acts 2:22 tells you that. And so just ferry something only without all these works, because no, works don't save. All right. So this grace that God gives us, we can choose to fall from this grace. See, most of these people that teach faith only, they also teach the idea of the impossibility of falling from God's grace. And, well, when you think about it, let's put it this way. God always wants us to be saved. We know that. And so no matter how bad we get, if we're willing to turn back and serve God, He is willing to show His grace upon us again. But for a lot of people, they think this means I can just do whatever I want the rest of my life and God's grace is going to take care of me and get me to heaven. And so that's just a false concept about grace that a lot of people teach and a lot of people believe in. In John 5:36 and chapter 10, 37, 38, Jesus emphasizes that his works testify who he is. He says, you've read the scriptures seeking for that eternal life, but the scriptures are the very ones that testify of me. And Jesus demonstrated that. You know, back in John chapter 3, Nicodemus comes up and says, Lord, we know you got to be a prophet from God, because no man can do these things that you do. And so Jesus demonstrated his power. He demonstrated the fact that he had the power to do these things. In Mark, we read the story about they dropped the man down through the roof into the room. He marveled at their faith. They said, your sins are forgiven. Then it heard a big gasp in the room. What did he say? He blasphemed God. He claimed to be like God. And Jesus had to respond, but to prove to you that I have the power to remove sins, he looked at the man and says, take up your bed and walk. And the man did. So Jesus had the authority on this earth to forgive sins. All right, so Jesus emphasizes that his works, the things that he did, testified that one, who he is. One, he was the Son of God. Two, he was the Messiah. And yes, he can be our personal Savior if we obey him. So we must imitate Christ's work to be more fully united with him. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. And so we must do that. In John 5:39-42, knowing the scripture is not enough if you do not have love in your heart. There's something else we said. You know, Paul said the same thing, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I can move mountains with my faith, but if I don't have love, it profits nothing. It doesn't do any good. We have to have love. Love is the great motivator, and love is what we need in order to be pleasing to God. In John 8:31-32, Jesus requires works even from those who believe in him. Yeah, our faith can make us free, but we also need to believe in Jesus. Believe that I am he. That's what he told them to do. And when Jesus said, this is what you must do, you got to believe me that I am the Christ. Guess what? That is the work that he has given us to do. And so in this case, when we believe, we are doing the work of God. And so there's a difference between man's works and God's works, which the world hasn't figured out. The denominational world says that works do not save. The works that God gives us to do, they do save. The works that man comes up with on his own do not save. So they're only partially correct in their statement. See, mere belief is not enough. I mean, faith alone is not enough. John 13:34-35, Jesus gives us a new commandment, that we love one another as he loves us. So I said, I'll give you a new commandment. love each other. And the world will know that you are my disciples because of your love for one another. And he commands love, which is an act of our will. In other words, we have to choose to do this. Have you ever tried to love somebody because you didn't want to? Think about that for a minute. Can you love somebody because you don't want to? No. The only way we're going to love anybody is because we want to. And so that is an act of our will. See, John 14:15, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Jesus lays out conditions for us to have a relationship with him. And it's based on the fact that how do we, yes, we need love. Yeah, we got to love Jesus. But Jesus says the demonstration of that love is what? Keeping his commandments. I mean, it's not too hard. It's not rocket science here. This is very plain and simple, and this is what the Bible teaches. But yet, most of the world just ignores what the Bible teaches, and they come up with their own philosophy and teaching. So this requires doing works, not just faith, and not faith alone by any stretch of the imagination. We've got to do what God commands us to do. I say, doing works. There's the works God has given us to do. There's the works that man comes up with in his own imagination. No, the works that we're talking about is the works that God wants us to do. God's and Christ's commands are works. Let's get that out of the way. They are works. If they give us a command, they expect us to do. That's what you do with works. You do them. You don't ignore them. And so, their commands are works. John 14:21, he who hears my commands and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Once again, just reversing what he said back in verse 15, hey, if you love me, you're going to keep my commands. Sometimes Jesus had to say something the same, had to say the same thing in several different ways for people to understand it. You know, we find that's the case today. A lot of times, you tell somebody something, then you have to just tell them something in a different, slightly different way, and then it snaps. The light bulb goes off, and they understand what you're trying to say. So, yeah, Jesus had to do that. And so, keeping his commandments is doing good works for others. And that's one of the things we need to do. John 15:8. Jesus requires us to bear the good fruit of works. And that's what he was talking about, John 15:8. Says, but this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. That you bear much fruit, and what do? Prove to be his disciples. How do we prove to be the disciples of Christ? By doing the works he gave us to do. I mean, like I said, it's not rocket science. It's very simple. It's not physics or anything like that. John 15:10. Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love as I have kept my Father's commandments. Yeah, we can have a relationship, people, but here's the condition. If you keep my commandments. That word, if. Biggest word in the Bible. Believe it or not, it is the biggest, most important word in the Bible. And it establishes a condition. And the condition for us to be in the Father's love and Christ's love is to keep his commandments. I mean, it's not hard to figure out. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. I mean, so it's how you treat others. This is how we're going to be judged. We read that in Matthew 25. And so love is both a cause and the fruit of our justification. It's both. Love motivates us to do those things that God wants us to do. And by doing so, we can bear fruit. And by doing that, we are justified in the sight of God. Now, Romans 12:10, Paul commands us to love one another. And yes, we do. And love is a good work. An act of the intellect and will is not just a feeling. You know, there's something, we use that word loosely sometimes. We talk about, oh, I love banana pudding. I love this. I love the color blue. I love the sunshine, whatever. I mean, those are just kind of one way. But to demonstrate love, you have to demonstrate it, not just say it. See, in 1 Corinthians 3:8, Paul teaches that he who plants and he who waters are equal, and each shall receive his wages according to his labor. The effort we put into helping others, yes, God is going to reward us for that. And some people do more than others, but still, you got to do something. A lot of people don't do anything at all. See, 1 Corinthians 13:2, Paul teaches that if our faith moves mountains, but we have not the works of love, we are nothing indeed. 1 Corinthians 13:13, abide in faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Yes, we need faith, and we operate on the hope of what that faith is going to produce. And of course, love is the greatest of all of it, because love is an action. Love is the greatest work which justifies us, not faith, and most importantly, not faith alone. See, 1 Timothy 6:18 and 19, we are to do good and be rich in good works. Paul had talked back in verse 10 about the root of all evil, the love of money, root of all evil, and instruct the rich to be good, doing good works. They have the ability, so they should be doing that. And what they do, they lay up a good foundation for a chance at eternal life. In Titus 1:16, people claim to know God, but their deeds deny him. I've said this many times. See, like Jesus, it is our works that testify to our faith in Christ. That's how we demonstrate we have a faith in Christ. It's more than just words. You just walk up and say, yeah, I believe in Christ. But yet, does their life demonstrate that by the way they live, by the way they act and behave, and by the way they talk? A lot of times you'll find out Christ is nowhere near their life, even though they say they have a personal relationship with him. They don't demonstrate anything about that. 1 John 2, verse 3 and 5, and by this we may be sure that we know him if we keep his commandments. There's that word if again. If we keep his commandments, we can be assured that we know him and have a relationship with him. So this requires good works, not faith alone. 1 John 3:23, God's commandment is to believe in his son, Jesus, and to love one another. I mean, very simple command. That's not the only one, of course, but belief is not enough. But good works to perfect that belief. That's what we do. And I mean, that's what James 2 is talking about, the fact that our works will bring about, perfect our faith. Works perfect our faith. And so 1 John 4:7 through 21, a great message here about love. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God should love his brother also. For anyone who cannot love God, for God is love. And it goes on to talk about the fact that we should have a relationship with others in the same way we have a relationship with God. We believe God, and so we obey God, and we do works for God because we love him, because we realize he loved us first and demonstrated that love towards us. How did God demonstrate his love towards us? Well, he just thought it in his mind. Duh. No, he sent the Christ. He sent the Christ to us. So God demonstrated his love to us, and so we should demonstrate our love to him. And how do we do it? As we just said, by keeping his commandments. See, John gives us repeated exhortations to love one another over and over. 1 John 5:2 and 3, we know we love God and God's children when we keep his commandments. And in this case, it's not a matter if we keep his commandments, it's a matter of when we keep his commandments. But still, the same principle is there. We cannot prove to God that we love him if we don't keep his commandments. It's just impossible. And we need to love, which is manifested in good works, and not faith only. 2 John verse 6, we must love one another and keep Jesus' commandments. That's what we need to do. And so these works are there. And so we must cooperate with Christ's grace. We talked a little bit about grace last week. And yes, the grace of God is Jesus Christ. In fact, everything that God tells us to do is His grace. If God gives us a commandment, that is the grace of God. If God teaches us that the Word of God is sufficient for our needs, that is the grace of God. And so Christ was the epitome of the grace of God, the demonstration of God's grace, because that's the one in which people can be saved. So, yes, we have to cooperate with Christ's part in the grace of God. And so we do our part. God did His part. God provided, made the provision, made it available. Now what? It becomes an act of our will. It becomes our choice if we are going to serve Christ or not. And so people have to do that on their own. And yes, it helps to demonstrate your faith rather than just claim you have faith. So we must combine our belief with works that are commanded of God to be worthy of the salvation that God offers. I think the scriptures have made it. I think we set up a case over the past 3 weeks here. This is what God wants. And the teaching of faith only is a false doctrine. And people who follow that faith-only doctrine will not get to heaven. They should know that. Faith and works are necessary for salvation. So the question is, are you doing what Jesus and His apostles taught through the Bible? If you're not doing it, then you really can't claim to have faith. Or you have a blind faith that doesn't do anything. So really, for the rest of us, it is time to get busy doing the works of God. And if you haven't been doing it, that's what you need to start doing. So consider those thoughts. That's our lesson for today. It concludes this series on faith and works are necessary for salvation. We've been through the gospel several times. We've talked about what Jesus talked about the gospel, the fact that we must believe that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We must repent of our sins and stop the sin in our lives. We must be ready to confess the name of Jesus before others, confess Him as our Lord and Savior, and be willing to be obedient to Him for the rest of our lives. And then go through with the work that God gave us to do by being obedient to the gospel, by being baptized for the remission of sins. Then after we've done that, it becomes our duty to serve Him. Serve Him in all ways that He commands us to do. When Jesus said in Matthew 28, "Go into all the world, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." So, yes, we have to keep that in mind. If you've done that, that's great. If you haven't done that, or if you've fallen from that, get back on the right track, and we can help you do that. So we can assist you in any way that you might have need while together we stand and sing.